me this morning.
Why don't we open in prayer? Okay, so let's bow together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for just this day where we can gather together as women to hear from your word and to learn more about what it means to worship you through our speech. Lord, please be with me as we talk about affirmation. Help me to be clear and help me to not be so nervous. And I just pray for all of us that we would grow in our abilities to recognize and affirm just the good things that we see in people's lives. And so thank you, God, just for your grace and for your kindness to us always. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so again, my name is Megan Kai. It is a pleasure to be with you this morning. If we haven't gotten a chance to meet, please come up and say hi after. I know most of you. And so if not, yeah, let's meet, shall we? And so I hope that this whole event has been a blessing and an encouragement to you. I know that it is so good for me to talk so much about talking. And if you know me at all, you know that I talk a lot. I talk probably too much. And so I feel like returning to in-person events and situations have kind of shown me that I'm such like an awkward communicator. And so to start off our session, instead of giving like the, oh, I'm Megan, this is what I do, this is my family, I'm gonna tell you a story about my communication style, okay? And so for example, this is my big example. A while back, me and some of my coworkers were going to go on this site visit for a retreat. Possibly, is it this all church retreat? I know. So we're driving far to this like kind of far-ish away retreat site. So we're standing in the parking lot, and I'm looking around at who's going. And I'm like, who is going to be a good shotgun rider, right? Because if you are, not because I wanted to be the shotgun rider, but because I wanted to sleep. Okay, and so, because we all know that if you sit shotgun, you need to be ready to navigate, you need to have a good playlist, and you need to be ready to talk to the driver, right? Those are like the three things about being a shotgun. Yes, right? Thank you. So anyway, I was so relieved when this like one coworker called shotgun, like immediately. And I was like, oh, perfect, now I can sleep. And it's like an hour and a half away, so I can sleep. But as we pulled out of the parking lot, the car was filled with silence, right? And so we're like driving down Van Ness, and it's still silent. And I'm getting like increasingly anxious, right? And so we get up to the 91, and it's still silent. And so at this point, I'm like furious. I was so mad, and I was like, you cannot sit in the front and not talk, right? And so instead, I'm just like, oh, okay. So I like ramble for an hour, like for so long, like about nothing. I don't even remember what I was talking about. And I know for sure the driver, who will remain unnamed, was not particularly interested or encouraged and definitely not affirmed by my conversation at all, okay? And so hopefully this gives you some insight into my communication style. This is an example of what not to do, okay? And I think that when we talk about speech and loving others through our words, it's a lot of that, right? There are a lot of things that we should not do, a lot of things that we should avoid. And you know, it's really important that we know what those are, right? We need to be wise and we need to be discerning about the words that we use. But I think something that we need to remember is that worshipful speech is not just the absence of gossip or bad counsel or complaining. There's a difference between abstaining from poor, unhelpful speech and generously giving life-giving encouragement. Okay, they're two different things. So it's not only not using our words to harm people, but actively using our words to lift each other up. Okay, and there are many, many ways that we can do this and many ways that we can move towards people with our speech, and affirmation is one of them. It's not the only way that we can, obviously, but I believe that it can be transformative in our lives, okay? And so it's possible that amongst you ladies here, that might be one of the reasons why you're here. Maybe you want to affirm people in your life, but you're not sure how to do it well. Others of you might be skeptical, and you might be wondering, you know, doesn't affirmation just lead to pride and like a big head? Isn't it more loving to give them the hard truth? On the other hand, some of you might be a firm believer in affirming others, and you just want to grow. And some of you might be somewhere in the middle, and you just want to see both biblically and practically what role affirmation plays in the Christian life. I have been all of those, right? And I think foundationally, I've always thought of affirmation as like a nice Christian thing to do, but not like super important, right? It's like, oh, if I have time to affirm someone, I will. If the situation arises, I will. But it was never part of my day-to-day life. And I think for some of us, it's the same. Like, you'll tell your kids, like, say something encouraging or say something nice. Or hopefully you've never been in the situation. I've been in these, and they're so awkward. When you go around in a circle at work and you have to say something nice about somebody, and you're just like, no, what do I say? It's like, thank you for helping me. You know, like, what do you say? But true affirmation can really transform your relationships. And by God's grace, over many years, I have learned more and more the value of sitting down and trying to truly understand the place that affirmation has in my life and in my relationships. And I have found affirmation to not just be a good practice, but a necessary one. One truth that was hugely transformative for me when it comes to giving and receiving affirmation has been, and this might seem very simple, some of you might already know this, is that affirmation is a way that we give God the praise and glory he deserves. That is, when we affirm someone, we are looking for anything God says is good and anything that resembles Christ-likeness. And then we share what we see to that person for the purpose of encouraging and edifying them in their faith. So it's like when you eat something super delicious, and of course, you know, you enjoy the food itself, but it prompts you to appreciate the person who made it. Our Christian affirmation is similar. It's not to puff a person up or to make them feel good about themselves only, but it's to invite them to share in your thanksgiving for the ways that God has been so good to you through them. And that was like super long and wordy. So let me give you a shorter definition for affirmation. Affirmation is recognizing and appreciating God's work in someone's life and encouraging them in it. Affirmation is recognizing and appreciating God's work in someone's life and encouraging them in it. And so this is what separates affirmation from flattery or even just, you know, complimenting someone on something. You know, oftentimes those can be self-focused or overly focused on the other person. Like we want someone to like us, so we flatter them, you know, or we use our words to make ourselves look better, so we shower people with like shallow compliments, right? Affirmation, on the other hand, is God-focused. As Christians, we should be giving God honor and glory for his good work, and as Christians, we should also seek to love and encourage others in our lives by recognizing God's work. Affirmation is one of the ways where we can do both of these at the same time. And so, ladies, let me encourage you to put affirmation in as a regular practice in our church, in your communities, and in your relationships. And the goal of this workshop is to not only give you reasons why affirmation is important, but also to help us see how we might apply this in our everyday life. Okay? And obviously, you know, this is not an end-all be-all. I'm sorry, you will not become like a master at affirmation after this workshop. Sorry. I don't know what they promised you. Sorry. we'll never have perfect relationships, but you know, I think that together we can work together and work towards healthier and more loving relationships in this church. And so consider this not definitive, but rather a jumping point, and hopefully you'll be able to dig even deeper into why and how biblical affirmation fits within your own context after this. Okay, so let's get started. In your outline, the first point is why we affirm. And so let's talk about why we should practice affirmation. Why bother? What's so good about it? What's so necessary about it? A good place to start is that there is a biblical precedent for it. In the New Testament, we see many instances of affirmation in Paul's letters. And so let's look at one example. It is printed on your outline. It is from 1 Corinthians 1, verses 4 through 9. And so let me read this for us. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Okay, now, we don't have time to get into all the nitty-gritty details of this passage, but basically, for context, Paul was writing to the church in Corinth to address certain issues he had seen in them. They had, like, lots of issues. Bad drama. Like, not the funny drama, the bad drama. Like, moral problems, spiritual problems, doctrinal problems, like, the super long list of issues. But even before Paul addresses the bad, which he does eventually in the book, Paul takes a moment to talk about the good, which we see in verses 4 through 9. He gives thanks to God for them always. And then he goes on to say specifically why and how he is thankful for them. And this isn't like a, oh, you know, I'm so thankful for the ways that God is growing me through this challenging relationship. You know, God is growing me through your faults and patience and forbearance. It's like, not like that, right? And he isn't making that like affirmation rebuke sandwich, you know, when like someone affirms you to get ready for like the real hit. He genuinely affirms the Corinthians because of the grace God has given them, which we see in verse 4. And then Paul gives thanks to God for the ways in which they have been given speech and knowledge. Paul is simply pointing out the fact that they have been gifted in how they communicate, in their eloquence, in their speaking ability, and how they have been given unique abilities by God to build up the church. Paul was able to affirm the good because he knew that the good in their lives was directly tied to God's work in their lives, which we see in verses 5 and 6. So despite their problems and despite the fact that Paul had a lot of things to correct them on, we can clearly see him giving thanks to God for them and affirming their giftings. Okay, but let's think about this a little bit deeper. Why should Paul recognize God's work in people's lives anyway? Like, what is it about God's work that makes it worth praising and affirming? Okay, so when we think about affirmation, I think it's easy to automatically think about it as like a person-to-person situation. Like, I want to grow in the ways that I affirm Tracy or Francine, right? Like, we don't necessarily think that it's, you know, that it's bigger than that. I want us to look at the bigger picture. As Christians, we were created to give praise and honor to God. Like, we want to do this. This is why we were created. Think back to what I said earlier about when you eat something really delicious. Like, you enjoy it, right? Hopefully you enjoy it if you eat something really delicious. But so much so that you want to express it in some way, right? And it's the same with God. The Westminster Catechism says, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And so giving God honor and glory isn't just doing things that please God, though that is part of it. When we glorify God as the Bible calls us to, it is simply calling us to do what we were created for, which is to recognize, appreciate, and affirm that which is glorious. Okay? Giving God honor and glory is to touch on something that is basic to our human existence. And so, you know, I think for all of us, we don't maybe recognize it, but we always praise what we enjoy, right? We do it all the time. If you, I mean, all my examples, I feel like, are about food. Let me think of a different one. Like, if you have a child in like, a sport, right? If your kid scores a goal or they, like, run a race and win, like, you're pleased by it, right? You delight in it. You cheer and you shout and you praise them. And that's affirmation, right? And I think that that helps explain Paul's relationship to the Corinthians. Like, where does Paul get the impetus for still praising and affirming, like, literally the most problematic Christians of the first century? It all comes back to what he knows to be true about God. You see later on in the letter that he has perfectly legitimate reasons to not affirm them, because remember, they have like the bad drama. But he still makes it a point to recognize God's work, God's perfect work in imperfect people. And you know, I think for some of us, for me, a lot, you know, I think I really struggle to affirm people because I feel like there's nothing worth affirming, which is tough, but true, you know what I mean? And so I have relationships like that, and I probably am that person for someone. But what I want to challenge you and myself in is understanding that if we're looking for God's work in people's lives, it is never a hopeless situation because God is always working. We know that God is always working. And I'll get more into that in the second half of our workshop, but I want you to remember, if you're really struggling to affirm people and you think that there's nothing there, remember Paul's example from this passage in Corinthians. Okay? Another reason why we must understand affirmation is we were not only created to praise, but we were also created for praise. Mel touched on this a little bit at the end of her session. In Matthew 25:23, Jesus says, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. In Jesus' parable of the talents, Jesus uses affirmation as a motivation for faithfulness. So as Christians, in our pursuit to be faithful, that is the ultimate commendation, the ultimate affirmation that we are living for. Okay, as Christians, as people who have been saved by grace, we do not work to earn God's affirmation. But as Christians, we do live for God's affirmation. Okay, we don't work to earn it, but we do live for God's affirmation. Everything we do is for that. So do you see all the good things that we see in ourselves and in other people come directly from God, the source of everything good and beautiful and commendable? And as Christians, we should desire to grow in these things in our pursuit to be faithful and to keep working towards the best affirmation we could ever receive. Well done, good and faithful servant. So remember, to understand why affirmation is even worth pursuing in the first place, we must understand the vertical, right? That is, what does it show us about God? What does it show us about ourselves? And from there, we move on to why it's so important to apply it into our horizontal relationships. Affirmation is a tangible, biblical way to actively love another person. So remember again, at the beginning of this workshop, it isn't just about abstaining from hurtful or harmful speech, but we want to move towards other people with our words. We want to encourage each other to keep on going in pursuit of God's affirmation. We want to remind each other of who God is and of who we are and of what God is doing in our lives. I think for a lot of women, including myself, probably mostly myself, it's really easy to connect with others on a surface level. Like, I am the queen of just, like, complimenting people's outfits or their hair, and then just walking away. I'm just like, wow, you look great, and then just, like, running away. But, you know, it's much harder to truly affirm someone and, like, to actively look for the good that God is doing in their life. And it's even harder to tell them so. Like, I think that as churches get bigger and as there's more people that you don't know, it's hard to actually, like, make these connections and to tell people, you know, of the good that you're seeing in their life. But I think that that's precisely why affirmation is so powerful. Affirmation gives us access into other people's lives like few other types of speech can, because it focuses on the good, it hopes the best, it builds trust and camaraderie and affection between people. And yet, you know, I think you know, again, as I said, a lot of us struggle to go deep and to truly affirm those in our lives for a variety of reasons. I know for myself, I always think, you know, I'm too busy, or I feel threatened by other women, or I'm like hypercritical. You know, there's so many reasons and excuses that I give for why we don't affirm people around us. I was reading this book called Practicing Affirmation by Sam Crabtree. If you want to write that down, Practicing Affirmation by Sam Crabtree. I do recommend it. It was very good. And something he said was very helpful. I think sometimes we see ourselves on like a sort of continuum of affirmation with, okay, I'm flipped from you. Insufficient affirmation on this side and plenty of affirmation on the other, right? And if we're honest with ourselves, I think that we can feel a lot of pressure to find like a balance on this continuum. Like, I want to affirm her, but I don't want to affirm her too much, because then what if she gets like super prideful because of that? So I need to like find somewhere in the middle, right? But what Sam Crabtree argues is, what reasons do we not have to be generous with our love and affirmation for others? He says this: the point is not to calculate some once and for all ratio, but to be actively refreshing. And I love that. Actively refreshing to another person. Isn't it a wonderful thought that our words could actually refresh someone? And so what gain is there from abstaining from it? It's not a loss, you know, and if we see good, we should praise God for it. If we can, we should use our words to stir up one another towards love and good deeds, and affirmation serves many purposes for both the giver and the receiver. And so one of the greatest blessings of being a Christian is the fact that, you know, we're not alone in this. I know it's hard. Like, affirmation is really difficult for me, but we are part of a body of believers, and we have the blessing of giving and receiving affirmation in so many different ways. And my hope is that we, the women of this church, can affirm each other in ways that will help us all pursue Christ in just deeper and more meaningful ways. And so we learned earlier from Mel's session, which was so good, right, that our words reflect what's in our hearts. And so going back to Paul, it should come as no surprise to us that he was able to affirm the Corinthians because his life was centered and shaped by the story of Jesus, right, who loved us and gave himself up for us, even when there was nothing good to affirm in us. And so Paul's main concern was not putting up with difficult relationships or just pointing out sin. From the overflow of his heart, he desired to praise God and love the Corinthians, and we can see him here loving them through his affirmation of God's work in their lives. Okay, easier said than done, right? So the real question is, how do we actually do that? And so that brings us to our second point, which is how we affirm. Okay, I'm sorry, I do talk a little bit fast, so I will slow down a little bit. If you need me to repeat anything, just let me know. So how we affirm. So now we have some reasons for why it is good, bless you, for why it is good to affirm, but the how is so much more difficult, and I am not even talking yet about affirming difficult people. I'm talking about affirming, like, our friends, our family, our the closest people that we see every day. It can feel very unnatural and very awkward to offer genuine affirmation. And I think, again, you know, many of us excel at connecting in a more surfacey way, and so, you know, let me challenge you. To get past that, right? And I think for a lot of women, affirmation is so much more meaningful if the person actually knows us, right? And so let this be an encouragement to pursue deeper relationships. And I get it, I've been there. It's super hard to affirm. It's super hard to just like have deep relationships in general. And so I'm not here to prescribe, you know, like what to do per se. Like I'm not, you know, I think everyone's different, obviously. Like there's so many different seasons of life and personalities and types of people represented in this room. And like real life isn't just like a one size fits all, right? A lot of us have different contexts and they're layered. And so again, this is not like a, here is a list of the 10 best affirmations to tell your accountability partner, right? But you know, for me, there are a couple of things that have helped me get past the surface and to really practice affirmation in my life. Okay, so the first subpoint, which is A, or one, A, okay, is look for the good. So you wanna affirm others, but you don't know what you're looking for, or you might see something, but you wonder, gosh, is that even worth mentioning? So let me encourage you, yes. It is, okay? Whether it's character growth or virtue or giftings or abilities, remember that affirmation is recognizing attributes of God in people. So be on the lookout for humility or kindness or even self-control. Mel talked about the fruits of the Spirit, in her, she did not talk about the fruits of the Spirit. She talked about love from 1 Corinthians. And so even like things like that, right? Do you see that in other people? We see how God is in all these things and more. And so it can be as simple as saying to your child, hey, I noticed that you picked up your sibling's toy even though they threw it at your face. Thank you for loving them in that way, right? It could be, you know, even interests or hobbies or preferences. Like, do you see God's character reflected in how people spend their time? Do you see people who care about fighting injustice or people that express an interest in helping the marginalized? Do you even see people taking care of their health, you know, by exercising or eating well? These are things that are reflections of God's goodness that are to be thanked and to be enjoyed. Now, the real question is, and this really speaks to me, is do you recognize them as such? And to be honest, for me, this is really difficult. I think by nature, just a more critical and cynical person. I was literally like just talking to my friend a couple weeks ago over lunch, and we were like, you know, it's just like so much easier to be a hater. Like, it's so easy to be a hater in a sea of positives. Like, the one negative will stick out, and that's all you notice, right? So let me give you an example. My husband does a lot of the cooking in our marriage, and he enjoys it, and I enjoy not cooking and eating what he makes, right? And so I'm extremely fortunate to come home, and, like, usually it's, like, either finished or, like, dinner's almost done. And so you think that I would be, like, so thankful, but I'm, like, totally not. And so my husband, for all his wonderful qualities, is, like, a messy cook. And so I'm saying clean as you go, but he's like not doing that. And so when I come home, you know, there's like debris on the floor or like a wet towel on the counter, and I'm like, ah, right? And so the one thing that I notice and say is like, you know, I wish it was a little cleaner. Or have you thought about clean as you go? It's never like, wow, thank you so much for loving me in this way. Or thank you so much for sacrificing after your busy work day. It's always like, so do you want me to pick up those onions? Or like, are you going to do it or what? And so I justify it by saying, you know, this is not just good for me, this is also good for him, right? Because cleanliness is next to godliness. In all seriousness, though, I repeatedly fail to recognize the good because I am so used to zeroing in on the bad. It's like, hopefully we didn't all experience this, but like, you know, when you give your report card to your parent and all they notice is the B and like the C of A's, and you're like, wow, that was like super discouraging. So anyway, ladies, I want to encourage you to take stock of your words. Are you disproportionately focused on the negative instead of looking for the good? Is your reflex to be judgmental or critical? I know for myself that that's very true. And so if that's the case, address it. Check your heart and see where it's coming from. Repent and apologize if you need to. Don't be like me and waste an opportunity to praise God for his goodness in someone's life simply because you didn't get your way. John Piper has this quote, "When our mouths are empty of praise for others, it is probably because our hearts are full of love for self." You know, and I think that often that is the case. And so if what's in my heart is a preoccupation with getting my own way or control, it shouldn't be a surprise that it comes out in my speech. But you know, sometimes, and I understand this, it's not always, you know, just us or something so simple. I think oftentimes there are really difficult situations that we are in. Maybe some of you have really challenging relationships, a strained marriage, a wayward child, a friendship that is drifted and soured, you know, amongst other things. And you really do want to make it a point to affirm this person, but every time you talk to them, you're just overwhelmed by all the truly bad and difficult parts of your relationship. And it's not even necessarily from like the moment that you're in, but just like the memory of all the times from before. And it makes it really hard to affirm people. And you know, there's no quick fix for things like this. There are relationships that I struggle with to this day because of things that have happened years and years ago. But you know, pursuing affirmation, which remember is looking for God's work in their life, has really helped me in this, like truly helped me in this. It has helped me guard my thought life and pursue looking for the good. Now, this does not mean ignoring sin or like glossing over it. The Bible is super clear on that. But it is also really clear on what we should do about guarding our minds, right? And it's taking stock of where I let my heart wander when I think about and interact with people that are difficult. It is so easy for me to just dwell on the bad and to let it just rot and fester, right? It's so easy to gossip or ignore or continue to judge people for what they do. And when there are opportunities for me to engage with these difficult relationships, I am so focused on the bad that I miss what God is doing in their life. Or like not even miss, I'm like turning away from it and like actively missing it, right? And honestly, this says more about me than them than anything else. This says definitely more about my heart than anything else. And so if you have moments or relationships like this, let me encourage you to fight to remember that God is working, not just in us, but also in them. It's in those moments that I need to fight to recognize the good and not just the bad. And hopefully, even if it's slow, the trajectories of these relationships can move towards something that's more reflective of the truth that God is working. Right? And so when I do interact with them, I'm that much closer to being able to recognize signs of grace in their life. So ladies, pursuing affirmation and practicing it can help turn the tide of difficult situations because affirmation starts with your heart. And so let me ask you, where do you let it wander? Are you looking for the good? Okay. Maybe not all of you are haters like me. And so I hope not, actually. But I think another reason why we fail to affirm people is because we just don't think it's worth it. If something is good, I'll be like, yeah, it's good. Shouldn't it be like that? If it's bad, on the other hand, I'll be like, But if it's good, I'm just like, whatever. And so, like, you know, for example, like, let's say 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, when was the last time? I was really encouraged by Pastor Ken's sermon. I should tell him that I was encouraged. But, oh, he's, like, so far across the fellowship hall, and, like, someone's talking to him, and, like, so hard to email. Like, what am I even going to say? And also, like, isn't it his job to preach, like, a good sermon? Do I even have to thank him for that? right? And so anyway, so I don't. Or like, you know, if you're a mom or you have grandkids, like your child responded in an obedient way when you asked them to clean their room. Well, you know, she should because I asked her to do so, right? Or, you know, if your parents were generous with you or asked you a thoughtful question, whatever, mom, dad, whatever, right? Oftentimes I don't say anything because I think that there isn't really anything special or encouraging about it. I think that that's just how it should be. And so I let commendable things go and pass me by. And so I would encourage you to remember the why we affirm in situations like that. You are giving God glory for his good work in someone's life, and you are loving and encouraging someone else, possibly a fellow brother or sister in Christ. So when we see a fellow servant in Sunday school being patient with a difficult student, affirm their patience. When we see humility in a small group leader or an accountability partner and how they confess sin to you, encourage them in that. When a pastor faithfully preaches the word on Sunday, make the long journey across the fellowship hall and go thank them, right? If you see something commendable in your coworkers, your pastors, your friends, your children, your spouse, tell them. Don't let it pass you by. Align your speech with what God values because we want to see others the way that God sees them. We want to love what God loves. We want to align ourselves with God's agenda instead of our own because in that case, it's just superficial behavior modification, right? Instead of sincerely coming from the heart. Now, someone asked me this question that I want to address really quickly. How do we affirm non-Christians? Because how do we see God at work in them if there isn't any regeneration, right? And so remember, every human being has been created in the image of God, and so Christians and non-Christians alike still mirror and reflect his image. So if a non-Christian does something good, don't write it off as being self-serving or motivated by sin, even though, like, it could be, right? For one, you know, you're not God. You don't know their heart, and you don't know their motivation. And two, remember that everything good, everything lovely, beautiful, though inevitably stained by sin, still reflects the beauty and creativity and the goodness of God. And so everything good reflects God, who is good. Anything that reflects the character and goodness of God is worthy of praise and affirmation. So if you see good, even non-Christians, affirm it. Right? So practically, if any of you work with children, oftentimes little children, they're not saved, right? So even if your children or grandchildren aren't saved, you still affirm the good you see in them. You know, that they share, that they're honest, that they sacrifice for a sibling or a friend, or that they're kind. Like, you would not say, well, you were honest, but it was probably just motivated by your sin, right? You would never say that, right? We want to encourage them to see that what they did was good. So don't neglect to see the good in everyone in your life, and let that be a bridge to sharing with them how that good reflects our good God, okay? So wherever you are, look for the good, okay? The second sub-point is make it a habit and don't be afraid to start small. So looking for the good sounds nice and all, but sometimes... Oftentimes, I walk away from these events and I'm like so overwhelmed. I'm like, there's so many things I need to work on. Because ideally, we want to be checking our heart and fueling our faith with every word and every decision. But you know, I think, to be honest, many of us are just trying to get through our days, right? A lot of us work, some of us parent, we are trying to exercise and eat healthy and watch Korean drama and like, catch up on podcasts and do our small group homework and like not complain about how tired we are. And then all of a sudden, it's Sunday again. And like, I don't remember any of the conversations I had, let alone uplifting or affirming ones. Right? And so I think if I can give you any practical application from this workshop, it's to build good habits around affirmation. Or even if we're going off of mouths, to just build good habits around speech altogether. I read this quote in a blog roundup somewhere, I forgot where, but I wrote it down. Habit is far more dependable than inspiration. Make progress by making habits. And so for some of us, that means starting small. Start with taking stock of your speech habits this week. Be conscious of relationships where affirmation can come easy and where it can be difficult. Gain awareness of your tendencies to criticize or judge or even joke around in a mean way, which I am guilty of. And don't just try to stop doing those things. Remember what I said in the beginning. It's not just the absence of bad speech. It's the addition of good, loving, and helpful speech. And so focus on becoming the kind of person who looks for God and who looks for good and actively affirms it. Okay? I don't think we realize how much our habits shape our lives. There are so many things that I do every day that I'm not even conscious of anymore at this point because it's so built into my daily routine. And wouldn't it be wonderful if affirmation became one of those things? So to be intentional about affirmation, if there's someone that I want to affirm, something that I find helpful is to pray through it before. That is, before I tell the person, I'll tell God, I'll thank God for that person and for the grace he has given them and whatever gifting or situation we're in, and then I can move forward knowing that it's with the right motivation. Okay, and if you're able to, ask a trusted friend or sister in Christ to hold you accountable in this. Share with them how you would like to grow in affirming others in your life, that you want to grow in recognizing and appreciating God's work in other people or someone in particular, if that's your situation. Now, a note. I know for some of us, practicing affirmation can be hard, and it may lead to awkward conversations either on the giving or the receiving end. And I know that it's natural to like not want to feel awkward, but can I encourage you to affirm someone in your life in this church, even in this room? It's called practicing affirmation. Like, we're not leaving as masters of affirmation, right? If you are on the receiving end of an awkward affirmation, don't like immediately jump and consider it insincere or like super weird. Like, don't text your friend immediately and be like, oh my gosh, Megan said the weirdest thing to me at church. Like, don't do that. Let's make it a habit to hope the best about people and to recognize God's work in their life. You know, it's a blessing to be able to be in a church family where you can practice these things. None of us are going to be perfect at this. And so let us practice with all its awkwardness and messiness. In closing, I wanted to share about a time where someone's affirmation really impacted me. And as I just said, I feel very awkward talking about myself. But if it's true that the good that is in me is from God, then I am thankful to be able to share this with you. And so 2 years ago, I ended a 5-year run working as the church administrator of this church. It was a busy, hectic, and stressful job. It was also great, like I loved it. But I struggled a lot in it, and there were days and weeks and honestly like years where I was like, what am I even doing? It wasn't because it was, I guess, like a behind the scenes type of job per se, but it was mostly because I felt like my interests and my giftings were just not being used or utilized. I don't know about you, but like I didn't wake up and I was like, wow, can't wait to be the church administrator, you know, when I was like a kid. My background is in education. I currently work as a school librarian. And so what was jarring was when I was working, everyone around me, you know, these pastors and these interns and these ministry associates, you know, they're like, they feel so strongly about their callings and their giftings. And, you know, when I was working at the church, I would think about that while I processed reimbursements and cleaned up the kitchen after a fellowship group forgot to, right? Or photocopied Sunday notes or just answered people's questions about, you know, where does the offering go, you know, day after day, Sunday after Sunday. And I wondered often, you know, how do these little things, sure, you know, like important to the logistical running of the church, how does it actually matter in the big picture? And I felt a lot of the time like I was just pushing paper and planning and cleaning up after events. And, you know, the pastors would tell me, you know, it's important. I'm like, what you're doing is important. But it was hard for me to actually believe that and to feel like it was. You know, in God's provision and in his timing, eventually I left that job and I was about to transition to another. And it was in the height of COVID, so instead of meeting together, the staff sent me just a bunch of notes when I left. And so when I read them, I was actually so blessed and I was so encouraged and I was surprised about it because I had all these feelings about working at church. They were full of affirmations about the precise things that I had thought about for so many years that I didn't think really mattered. The things that I felt were small and unimportant helped pastors minister more effectively, helped church members feel cared for, and ultimately bless those around me, which was hugely encouraging for me because I was so stuck in my own way of thinking about all of it for years. Like I thought in a certain way for years. And it totally changed the way that I approach my current job. I work in a big school district and it's really easy to just put your head down and try to stay under the radar and like, you know, not splash around or do anything. But instead, taking from what I learned at church, you know, I will look for the things that people might feel are small, and I'll actively recognize it. And I think for some of us who work in a secular workplace, it can be pretty bleak, right? And it can be hard to do that. And so to be able to look for the good and to thank God for it and encourage others is a huge blessing and a huge grace. And I would want to encourage you in that. And you know, maybe some of you are like me. Maybe you're doing something in your life that you think is small or you're not sure how it matters big picture. Like you're working the same 9 to 5 every day or you are just at home or you're changing diapers, picking up kids from your school. Regardless, I'm sure all of us have experienced just living that grind, right? And I think that one of the beautiful things about affirmation is that we can remind each other of that truth, the truth that sometimes we're not able to see ourselves. Remember that affirmation helps us remember who we are when the world calls us to forget. It helps us pursue Christ in a deeper way by seeing how he is working in our lives and in the lives of those around us. And so, ladies, we get the wonderful privilege of reminding each other of the good that Christ has already done in our lives. Okay, and so I hope that you're able to practice affirmation in your life and that God will bear much fruit in it because of it. Okay, and so let me close this in prayer and then we have a couple of discussion questions. Let's pray. God, thank you so much just for this time. Thank you for just being so good and kind to us. And we know that all the good that is in us is from you. God, I pray that for all of us here that we would seek to actively look for you in our relationships, in our situations, in our homes, in our contexts, and that you would give us just the conviction and the courage to bless other people by saying it. Help us to practice it as a means to glorify you and to love others. And I pray that for all of us that you would bear much fruit in our lives because of it. And so God, thank you for loving us. for providing everything that we need through Christ. And yeah, I just pray for these ladies that you would bless them as they go from here. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you have any questions, you can let me know. But I think there are some discussion questions in your packet.